To say that manliness is under assault in today's America is an understatement. Just like last week's study about marriage is said that it was an understatement. The feminization of men, which is a reference to men adopting traditionally feminine traits, behaviors, or styles, has become so prevalent that even a few of those who are in favor of it are beginning to worry that they've gone too far. Society is no longer discouraging traditional male traits. It's actively punishing them. And as a result, things like strength, ambition, and aggression are labeled as toxic. And by labeling ambition, and this leaves young men feeling lost and directionless and resentful. And by labeling ambition, competitiveness, and aggression as toxic or oppressive, young boys are being discouraged from behaviors historically associated with masculinity. Things such as playing with toy weapons or expressing dominance in competitive settings. Rather than channeling that energy into productive activities that integrate with society, where boys become heroic leaders, bringing everyone along with them, radicals in our society are trying to repress it. And as a result, we're seeing an explosion of passivity among boys, with social, or in a growing number of cases, physical emasculation. That's why transgender, out of nowhere, has become a huge thing in our society. And it's being done deliberately, as we'll point out in just a moment. The thing about it is, though, this doesn't mask the problem. Because aggression, unchanneled in boys, spills out in violence, including in murder. I had said that I thought that I would not mention this again, but Charlie Kirk's killer was rescuing his trans boyfriend. He had a boyfriend that was pretending he was a girl, and he was rescuing this damsel in distress from the big bad wolf, Charlie Kirk. So that aggression, no matter what you try to do with it, no matter how you try to repress it, it comes out. You know, we're in the early stages of the NFL season, and I've kind of gone back and forth about the NFL. For a while there, I got so aggravated with it, I just frustrated, and I just felt I hated watching people get hurt for my entertainment. And so I quit watching it for a long while, and then I kind of started going back to watching it again. And I have to admit that despite all of the injuries that come from it, the NFL and football at high school and college and pro level provides an important role in society by providing an outlet where male aggressiveness is channeled properly into discipline and teamwork. A coach can make a boy into a man or into a monster, depending on how bad the coach is. Better, and so I've decided I'm going to back off a little bit about my anti-NFL approach and just say, look, it's better that our energy goes into supporting a team on a field than a gang in our neighborhood, making everyone, especially women, live in constant fear. So there is a point of value to that. But the ultimate solution to our society's problems with men is to teach them how to be submissive spouses from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now, as we noted last time, there's a large section of this country that just hates God and everyone who claims to be a Christian. Satan hates the Bible, the biblical pattern for marriage. And they want to destroy any semblance of the biblical pattern for gender roles in marriage. They want to destroy that. And they're happy with the confusion and conflict that they're deliberately causing while blaming the victims for not being able to handle the confusion. This is deliberate. There is a deliberate effort in society that's been going on since I was a kid and even before, but especially took off in the 60s with the control of education by radicals who hate America and hate God, mostly, hate God, and are determined to destroy anything about God from the public arena at all, and they began with the education system because they get control of kids. We also noted that we failed to a certain degree in not explaining it well. We haven't done a good job of explaining what men are supposed to be like. And we haven't done a good job of defining God's standard for how men should behave and how women should behave in that marriage. Too often, in the past especially, and now it's kind of flipped in the other way, but too often, brethren adopted the religious world's view that is out there in the religious world, and especially in fundamental religions, that sees men as tyrants in their home. They're just in charge, and they can treat the little woman with contempt as a servant instead of respect as a partner. And that leads to many Christians having failed at biblical marriage. And then the world then applies that label. They see Christians fail in their marriage, and then they say, well, all Christians are failures. And marriage by association, this biblical idea of marriage by association, is to be condemned. That's a society that we live in. That's the culture that we live in. Now, here's the question you may be asking. Why would I want to talk about turning men into submissive spouses if the idea here is that men are aggressive and competitive by nature? Precisely for this reason. This is where we teach men how to channel their energy and their aggressiveness and their competitiveness into the kind of heroic leadership in the home and by extension out into the world. This is how we learn to be leaders, teach men how to be leaders that represent and follow after the pattern God has established. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 through 7 again, and we're going to see some things here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Again, he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they, that is the husband, observes your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord God. For in this way, in the former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And so what we're going to see tonight is that the same three words that we saw earlier apply to men as well, though in a different way, in a different sense. That is submit, support, and surrender. We see those three words in the text, and then we're going to bring those out as how they apply to men as well in the marriage relationship. Now, first of all, remember this. It said in the same way. See, we saw this back in verse 1, chapter 3, in the same way. And then in verse 7, you husbands, in the same way. So he's using this idea of this as a way of living, a way of approaching marriage. A wife approaches in the same way as something, and the man approaches in the same way as something. And what are they? Well, the first thing is submit. Look back in chapter 2, verse 13. Saw this last week. I just want to repeat it for us so we'll get this locked down. Verse 13, talking about in the human institution realm, husband, wife, men, women, all Christians submit. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors, etc. So we are to submit. That is something that all men and women, all people who claim to be Christians do, is they submit to the authority that God has established, to the government governing authorities. That's the first thing. And in verse 18, in the work relationship, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Discussing in the area of the arrangement within the job and the workplace, submission, male or female, doesn't matter, with all respect. So that's what the thing there. And then in verses 21 through 24, Let's read that text. I want to read that because even though it doesn't use the word submit here, we see that that's essentially what Jesus is doing. He is ranking himself. He is ranking under by taking himself, taking on the cross. Beginning of verse 21 of 1 Peter 3, and then we'll turn to Philippians 2. But in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, he says, "For you," that is the Christians, "have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wound you were healed." So he's saying there, even though he doesn't use the word submit in the text, Jesus submitted to death on the cross on our behalf. He submitted to our needs, to what we needed, which was forgiveness. We needed someone to pay the price of our sin, a price we couldn't pay, and Jesus did that for us. Now you say, well, wait a minute, James, you're pushing that on the submission. Well, let's turn back to Philippians chapter 1, or 2, Philippians chapter 2. Just a few pages in your New Testament over to the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, is explaining to them the attitude or the mindset of Jesus. And it's a mindset of submission. Verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Now let me pause right there. He's deity, divine being, second person of the deity, of the divine being. And he said, I'm going to turn loose of the prerogatives and position here. He didn't turn loose of his deity. He's always going to be deity. But he's going to turn loose of it. Didn't think, all right, claiming to be equal to God, is to the Father, to the first person in the Trinity, was not important. Submitting was more important at that time, verse 7, "but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So Jesus willingly took flesh, humbled himself so that he could die on the cross for us. Now Jesus and the Father, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or the first, second, third persons of the Trinity, are equal. They're deity. All three are divine persons in that one being who is God. But the second person, Jesus, submitted voluntarily as a free will decision for us, for salvation, submitted to the will of the Father so that he could bring salvation. And so the husband's submission isn't so much about taking a secondary role in the chain of authority. We are given authority in the marriage relationship, but it's about voluntarily submitting to her needs. And the key is right there in the text, but we often miss it. Go back to the text, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way." Live with her. One of the biggest problems with modern American men is a failure to grow up and man up. Now, I'll try to bring a little humor into it. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to be embarrassed. But who in here likes going shopping with their wives? Get your hand down. All right, so one does. All right, my son and I used to joke about this. We'd go to the mall with my wife, his mom. We'd go to the mall, and it would be like that. It's like we walked in, and it's like a drug hit us. It's like they're pumping some kind of drug into the air, and it just made us lethargic, and we barely drag ourselves to a chair to go sit down. It just was weird, because as perpetual boys, men prefer to go fishing, hunting, golfing, scuba diving, play sports, and watch sports with their buddies. That's what men like to do. And they go off and do those things. And they don't live with their wives. They don't spend time with their wives. My wife and I have just started watching a YouTube channel called Outdoor Boys. Anybody here ever seen or heard of Outdoor Boys? Okay, I got one of you. Okay. I was telling Rob about it the other night. Outdoor Boys is a guy that lives in Alaska, and he has three sons, and that's where the boys come from, the outdoor. And he and his wife live in Alaska with these three kids, three boys. And for the last 10 years, he's been making just regular video recordings of him going camping out into the wild. In Alaska, in 60 below. Watched one the other night. 60 below. And he makes a tent out of a tarp, builds up a snowbank, digs down in the snow, built up a snowbank, put a tarp over it, set up his little portable camping stove, and spent the night there. And went outside. He went outside to take video of the thermometer he left out there where it said 60 below. What is wrong? Anyway, he likes to do it. And he does other places in Florida and other places across the country and even across the world. And then there are some videos of him with his wife and the boys and as a whole family. But you know what the majority of them are? Not outdoor boys. It's outdoor boy. It's him alone out having fun, doing what he loves to do. Men like to do that. And so we have to learn to understand that if we're going to love our wives the way we're supposed to, we've got to be home with them. We've got to spend time at home with them, or even whether we like it or not, at the mall maybe, going shopping with them, doing things with them. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, you know, guys like to look at Ephesians 5:22. Well, wives being subject to your husbands as to the Lord, the husband's head of the wife. We like 22 and 23 and 24. But then we kind of slow down and figure out how to get out of reading 25 and following. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's your heroic leadership. You surrender what you want for what she needs, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And we'll add a McClenny addition to that, McClenny translation, and leave your camping buddies and your hunting buddies and your fishing buddies and your golfing buddies and your other buddies, and leave them alone. Don't go spend all your weekends and all your nights with them. That's what we have to do. Submit to her needs voluntarily because we love her and want to support her. Now that doesn't mean that we don't do anything outside. We need to channel the energy somewhere, but channel it mostly into supporting your wife. Submit to her need and come home to her. Resist the calls to get over-involved in stuff outside the home. Put strict limits on your external activities so your wife knows she is more important than all of that stuff and all of your buddies. And that leads us to the next one, the support. Support. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, live with your wife, so you live with her. And then he says, in an understanding way. The husband supports his wife through getting to know her, what interests her, what fulfills her, what she likes, what she enjoys, according to knowledge, is study her, learn about her, read good books and articles on how to on the gender differences, how men are different from women. There's some good ones out there. Love and Respect is a really good book. It's out there about how husband loves wife, the wife respects the husband, and talks about those gender differences, so that you'll treat her in a way that builds her up instead of tears her down. Now, this part about the weaker vessel there in verse 7, has to do somewhat with the physical side, but also her emotional side. Yeah, guys are like old footballs. Anybody got an old football that you've been kicking around since you were a kid? No? I had them all around all the time. And you'd kick us around, throw us in the back of the truck or in the trunk, and we're cool with that. That's okay. And that's why we greet each other with insults and grunts. Tim Allen made a fortune grunting his way through the TV show Home Improvement. Because guys are like that. Now, women are tougher than we may think, but they need to be treated with care and tenderness. Like a special vase or vase. It may be strong, but if it's handled roughly, it can be shattered. And the same thing goes for a woman. So what we need to do is we need to be the real heroic leader who fights off the real wolves out there in the world. And there are real wolves out there in the world seeking to destroy your family, destroy your wife, destroy your children. And guys have to step up and be the man who stands in front of them and protects them from those kind of people. They are out there. Those are the people that are trying to destroy men today. And you know, one of the things that we may live kind of in a bubble here in this part of Kentucky. But I can tell you right now, with the internet and social media, your kids are going to get swamped by this stuff. And you guys, I'm talking to you young adults now, young parents, you have to be prepared for this because the world is going to try to eat your children alive. Men, you've got to be the ones taking the lead and making sure that it doesn't happen to the best of your ability. They will do it. So be the one, the guy who fights off the real wolves, including the one in the heart, in your own heart, that wants to put self first above your wife. And the last one we want to look at is surrender. Surrender to God. In the same way, surrender to God. God is calling on us to submit and surrender to Him because He's the one that set up the example for us. He's the one that calls us to do this. And He's telling us that this is doesn't mean that we're special, that guys are special and that we're better than women and that we're more important than women. That's not the case. That's not what is being taught here. And anybody who tries to say that that's what it means is misinterpreting and falsifying what the Word is trying to say. We're joint heirs. Notice what he says back in verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Galatians chapter 6 talks about how there's no, Galatians 3 verse 28 and 29 talk about how that there's neither male nor female, there's Greek, barbarian, none of those distinctions matter in the church with the relationship to God. Every single person, every single human being is equal in relationship to God as a child of God. They have different roles in the church, and we are supposed to honor those roles and respect those roles because we respect God. But that doesn't make us any better as men. Sometimes I think men, because of their competitiveness and their aggressiveness and their being in frontness, bleeds into a betterness. And we need to make sure that we avoid that, guys. God gave us the duty of leadership, but does not make us better or more special, nor closer to God. Do not mistake the role differences as a sign of superiority. Surrender to God, because if we don't do this right, our prayers are hindered. In other words, God's saying, I'm not listening to you because you treat your wife like dirt. I'm not going to listen to you. Because we need to understand that that can be the case if we're not careful. We're not better, just different. Well, those are your 3 points. Look about it. There's your three. Submit, support, and surrender. So let's wrap up with this question. Are you a submissive spouse? Now that we've explained that that doesn't mean that we change the roles around. It just means that we recognize what our role is and we fulfill it. We do what we're supposed to do, whether we're a woman or man. We do what God has called on us to do in our role as a husband or as a wife. And the surrender to God begins with believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That the second person in the divine being took flesh, born in a barn in Bethlehem, walked among men for 30 plus years before dying on a cross to save us from our sin. Deity in flesh. You want to talk about humiliation and submission. Deity in flesh. We can't even begin to comprehend what that really means. But we need to work on understanding it. Do you believe that? If you're not a Christian, do you believe that? Because you need to be a Christian, to be saved. And if you're willing then to kill off that old way of life, to kill off that old man who lived according to the flesh and live for Jesus and repent and confess Him as God's Son and be baptized for the remission of sins, you can become a Christian and you can begin to demonstrate for the world what a true Christian man or woman is supposed to be. You need to do that tonight. You want to have the marriage that God wants you to have, marriage that everyone will envy, or be the spouse that everyone envies. That begins with submission to Jesus. We can help you be right with God if we can help you submit to King Jesus. Come now while we stand, while we sing.